Gentlemen, for Parshas Pinchas, which we'll read in Eretz Hashem in a few days' time, there's a very good essay here from the Hema Yenachamuni that I wanted to highlight with you because it's a topic that's very close to my heart, and I hope to yours as well. Chibas Haaretz. We're going to learn about Benos Slavchad and the contrast between Benos Slavchad and Parshas Shlach, the Meraglim. And we'll begin with a pasuk in Tehillim. Ata tokum terachim tzion ki eis lechenina ki vamo eid. You should have a compassion on Tzion because this is the time that the Jewish people have chanina. Chanina means to find grace in your eyes. Now's the moment. Now's the moed. Says David HaMelech, ki rotzu avodecha safoneo vesafor yichononu. Your servants, God, love, they cherish, they crave even the very stones, the very earth on the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Kuzari Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who lived 1,000 years ago. Zoso Meres, what do we learn from this pasuk, or from the relationship between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk? What we learn is something phenomenal. Yerushalayim lo tibane, says Rabbi Yehuda Levi, Jerusalem will not be rebuilt. Ki im kasher yishtokeku eleha b'nei Yisrael, until the people of Israel crave the land, tachlis tshuka, the ultimate kind of cheshek, ad asher yechoninu es avaneh v'safara, they'll desire even the very stones and the very earth of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Ksubos, as you know, that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, when he came to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, he got off his donkey, and he wallowed in the very dust of Eretz Yisrael because of this pasuk. Says Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the fulfillment of all the divine prophecies about giving us back Tzion and Yerushalayim, having compassion on Tzion and Yerushalayim, we need what's called ariga. You know, like we say in the Shira Yichud Anim Zmiros, Argo Lecha Nafshi, Ariga means a desire, a craving, a longing. We have to have an Ariga, a Kisuf. Kisuf means when your nefesh goes out for something, you're so lovesick over the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. This is Chibas Haaretz. We're now entering the period of Bein HaMitzarim, just at the end of this week, the beginning of next week. And Bein HaMitzarim is the period in which we long for the Geula, for the redemption. This is the period of time when we should be ma'or ourselves, to try to intensify within ourselves this ariga, this desire for Eretz Yisrael, for the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. We need that tshuka. We have to desire its binyan. Tzipisa liyishua, we have to desire and long for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And this is going to express itself here in Parshas Pinchas. It's no coincidence that Parshas Pinchas coincides with the beginning of the Bein HaMitzarim period, the period in which we long for the Geula, because there are two different parts of this parsha of Pinchas that indicate our connection to Chibas Eretz Yisrael, our Ariga for the land. After the counting of Bnei Yisrael, the pasuk says, Ube'ela lo hoya ish mi pkude Moshe v'yaron ha-kohen esher paktu es b'nei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai ki omar lahem, omar Hashem lahem, mos yamusu b'midbar v'lo nosar mehem ish ki im kolev ben Yefuna v'yeshua ben Nun. In our parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that all those who were in the original counting at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is known by another name. It's called Chumash Pekudim because of the counting, the census of Bnei Yisrael. No one was left from the original census at this time, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, when the people are ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, except for two people. All that's left, according to this pasuk, that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. We'll see that Chazal have a slightly different interpretation, but is Kalev and Yoshua. Rashi says, "Bi'ela lo haya ish." It's interesting that the Torah uses the word ish. Ish means a male as opposed to a female. From the original counting, there were no men that had survived at this point. All of them perished in the Midbar. Says Rashi, Aval al Hanoshim, with regard to the women, the lady folk, Lo Nigzor Gzeris Amaraglim. You know, if you ever, people will tell you that there was no Gzeris Amaraglim for the women, and then they'll ask you, I know this to be so, but what's the source for it? It's this Rashi in Parashas Pinchas. So you'll be a Talmud Chacham and you'll surprise them that you know the source for this. Rashi says, why were the women excluded from the terrible decree of death in the Midbar? And the answer is, Lefi Shehayu Mechavavos Esar. It's again that same word, Chiba, that love, cherish the land. And now we get to the, Rashi continues and plugs into the second connection between Parshas Pinchas and the love of Eretz Yisrael. The first connection is that the women were not included in the original Gzerah, that they would perish in the land, in the Midbar. But there's a second connection. Ha'anoshim Omrim, if you remember, in the wake of the Meraglim, the terrible report of the spies, the men responded by saying, Nitna Rosh, let's turn around, V'nashuva Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. But what do the women say? Anoshim omros tnei, again the same word, nitno, tnei, but tnei lano achuza, give us a portion in the land of Israel. Lachain, these are the Benos Slavchad. Lachain, nismacha parshas Benos Slavchad lakan. Rashi says, why is it that immediately following this counting of Bnei Yisrael, the Torah reveals the episode of Benos Slavchad? And the answer is, because the counting of Bnei Yisrael includes only those who survived. Those who survived were not part of the original Gzerah, because all those who were part of the Gzerah and declared Nitna Rosh v'Latzuv Yitzrayim, they all perished. Now we have Benos Slavchad. Why didn't the women perish? And the answer is because of the Chiba, the Tnu Lanu Achuza, not let's go back to Mitzrayim, but let's look forward to entering into the land. We desire more than anything else a portion in the land. And therefore the women were not punished in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim, because they had the Chiba of Eretz Yisrael. They had that deep emotional love and attachment to Eretz Yisrael. And the proof of it is from Benos Slavchad, who requested Tnu Lanu Achuza.
And they were the descendants of Yosef.
Oh, that's the next paragraph. Excellent. Ubepam Shnia, we find another connection. Vatikravna Benos Slavchad. Now the Torah gives the entire lineage of the Benos Slavchad. It could have said Ben Hefer, period. Okay, Hefer Ben Gilad, you want to give respect to the grandfather, the Zayda, Ben Machir, the Alta Zayda, Ben Menashe, the Alta Zayda, and then it says Ben Yosef, all the way back to Yosef. Says Rashi, V'lama Nemar, why did the Torah have to trace their lineage all the way back to Yosef? Hello, Kfar Nemar Ben Menashe, we know that Menashe is the son of Yosef. Yosef Chibev Es Ha'aretz. The original Chiba of Eretz Yisrael was Yosef, and they, the descendants of Yosef, the Benos Slavchad, were following in the footsteps of their Alta Zayda. They had it in their genes, so to speak. How do we know that Yosef loved the land of Israel? V'aleisem es atzmose mize itchem. When you'll go up to the land of Israel, don't forget my remains, my bones back in Mitzrayim. Take me up to Eretz Canaan. And therefore, Bnosov, the daughters of Yosef, again a few generations later, chibubu v'sa'aret shenemar tnu lanu achuza. So we have now connection after connection in between Parshas Pinchas and the love, the Chiba for Eretz Yisrael. But you know what? Who proves anything from the Benos Slavchad? Rashi says that the women didn't die, they weren't included in the Gzerah, because of the Benos Slavchad. Meaning, Noshim Mechavos is Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Benos Slavchad loved Eretz Yisrael, that's for sure. But what does that prove about the entire people of Israel? I mean, the entire women population, female population of Israel. Maybe it was Benos Slavchad. On the contrary, they were the exception rather than the rule. And to prove that question, we quote the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that although there were masses of men that fell prey to the sin and were guilty of the sin of Chet HaMeraglim, however, there were some men that survived. And even though the Torah only mentions two of those men, namely Kalev and Yoshua, the Gemara establishes that there were other men. Who were these other men? These were the Zkenim. The Zkenim survived even after the Gzerah of the Meraglim. Why? Because these Zkenim accepted the Hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu. They never questioned Moshe Rabbeinu. They accepted the leadership roles of Yoshua and Kalev. And here we turn to page 112. Go ahead.
In a Haftarah to do with the spies, it talks about this other guy, and they say
the spies at the time of Yericho, you mean?
Yeah, go ahead. Pinchas, can you explain that?
Yeah, that Pinchas survived also.
But they you don't mention it.
He was part of the Zkenim, meaning these are the Zkenim that were protected from the Gzera of death in the Midbar because they were not rebellious against the leaders of people. Not only that, he says that the Gzera of the Midbar was only from the age of 20 and up. So you see that there were people who were not guilty of rebellion or rejection of the project, you know, the goal, shall we say, of coming to Eretz Yisrael. And why not say that all, you know, since there were some men who loved the land of Israel, therefore all the men should have survived? We don't say that. Just because there was an isolated group of men that were the exceptional Zkenim, you know, that they loved the land of Israel, therefore we say about all the men that the men loved the land of Israel. Here also, we find that the Bnei Slavchad loved the land of Israel. Does that mean that all the women loved the land of Israel? And the plot grows thicker. We still don't understand. And now in the paragraph that starts Oud, he says the following: the fact that the Bnei Slavchad requested and desired a portion in Eretz Yisrael, that might have been for financial reasons, for economical reasons, and has nothing to do necessarily with Chibas Haaretz, because they had no alternative. They had no brothers, they had no husbands, they had no portion in Eretz Yisrael. Shouldn't they worry about themselves to guarantee that they would get a portion in Eretz Yisrael? Imagine if, let's say, somebody dies and he leaves daughters, he doesn't leave any sons. Surely the daughters would come forward in front of the courts and say, we would like to demand a portion in the inheritance. Here too, the Bnei Slavka was simply asking that when you divide up the land, our father is gone, give us the portion that was designated for our father so that we can divvy it up amongst all the sisters. So again, we have two questions here. Number one, even if I grant you that Bnei Slavchad had this chiba, this love to Eretz Yisrael, but how does that prove anything about the Noshim? Rashi says, Noshim Mechavos, it's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they weren't included in the Gzera of the Meraglim. Number two, I don't even know for sure that the Bnei Slavchad, can't you grant you that premise, that the Bnei Slavchad had this love for Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they were motivated by the desire to get a portion in the land. Question number three, what about Yosef? You're telling me that the paradigm of love for Eretz Yisrael, of Chiba, is Yosef. Why? Because Yosef said, don't let my bones rot in Mitzrayim, bring them out to Eretz Canaan. That doesn't prove anything. Imagine if a father knows that his children are living in a different land, and his grandchildren and so forth, who's going to visit his remains? Who's going to come to the kever and say a kapitel tilim? So he leaves a final will and testament that he says, please, bury me in another land. Yosef was simply worried about the fact that his remains would be left behind in Eretz Mitzrayim. He wanted that he should be buried close to his descendants. And that's what a person naturally wants to do. He wants the relatives and descendants from his family to come and be able to see him. So where's the proof here that Yosef loved the land of Israel? And furthermore, and this is the paragraph that starts with Yosef, the Gemara tells us at the end of Ksuvis that why did Yosef desire to be buried in the land of Israel? And that's because of something called Gilgul Mechilos. You and I have heard of many people who die in Chutzlarts and they want their remains to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What's the reason for that? Correct, because according to the mystical writings, at the end of time, when Chias HaMesim will come about, the Mesim from Chutzlarts will have to roll to Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. And that's called Gilgul Mechilos. So Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik was afraid that his bones would have to go through this whole process of Gilgul Mechilos. Imagine you're shaking up your body there, whatever bones are left there. So how do we know, therefore, that Yosef, when he begged to be buried in Eretz Canaan, it was because of his love for the land? Maybe it's just he just wanted to avoid Gilgul Mechilos. Okay, so those are all the questions that we asked. Basically, we don't know how Chazal proved, based on Benoslavcha, that the Noshim Chavos and Sertzrel, how do we know that Benoslavcha had a Chiba? They were motivated by other motives, and Yosef as well. So now, he starts his presentation with a Gemara in Brachos. You'll see that about 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. This is a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael niknes bi surim. It's not so easy to live in Eretz Yisrael. And you and I could give 1,001 reasons for that. Nonetheless, it was the bureaucracy. But that's just a modern joke. But the Gera Rebbe, who's called the Pnei Menachem, he told a story that when his father, the Imre Emes, going back to 3 generations ago, came to Eretz Yisrael, he said the following. This is a very deep idea. And that is that the Yetzer Hara, although it's powerful in Chutzlaretz, it's supremely powerful here in the land. This is the true base for the Yetzer Hara here in the land. In Chutzlaretz, it's a tributary, but the original is here in Yerushalayim. In other words, the greater the Kedusha is, if you enter into the palace of the king and there's more and more sanctity, that's where the Yetzer Hara gets more and more powerful. That's what Chazal say, called a Godol Michavero. He who's greater, Yitzro Godol Mimena. Why is this Yetzer greater? Because the Yetzer is challenged by Kedusha. The more intense the Kedusha is, the more intense the Yetzer Hara is to fight the battle against Kedusha. So here in Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem is present, this is the palace of the king, that's where the Yetzer Hara is very powerful, and therefore the challenge of living in Eretz Yisrael is a great challenge. And now we ask a question. You know that in the Mir Yeshiva back about 30-40 years ago, the Rosh Yeshiva was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I've mentioned him numerous times. He, in addition to his incredible greatness in Torah learning, he had a specialty in Musar. And once a week he used to give a very famous Musar Shmuz. This went on for years. I mean, all the greats of Yerushalayim used to come to hear him. And from his Musar Shmuz, and they have a volume which has 3 years worth of his Musar Shmuz. And for Parshas Pinchas, he raises his voice and he says, why is it that we live here in Eretz Yisrael and we don't appreciate what a tremendous opportunity that we have? Why do we take it for granted? On a daily basis, we just walk the streets and we hardly even pay attention to thank Hashem for this great merit that we can be in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Hecha Nalem Ne'alam, where did this disappear? Today, the regesh, that deep, profound passion that we have of Chibas Haaretz. Does anybody think about going through the streets of Yerushalayim and picking up dirt and throwing it into the rubbish bin? He says, why don't we realize this is Ir HaKodesh? It has to be clean. We take everything for granted. And the story is told about the Regina Rebbe who came to Tel Aviv. and he said that he has jealousy of the sweet of the street cleaners, right? Menake Arachovos. Why? Because they have a tremendous mitzvah. They're able to clean up the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Some have a version that the Rezina Rebbe himself actually picked up a broom and he started cleaning the streets of the city himself. So what we want to do now is understand for a moment, what does the word chiba mean? Because unfortunately in modern Hebrew, the use of the word chiba, you know, has been a little bit misused. You know, they talk about av, about love and romance and chiba. With regard to Bnos Slavchad, Rashi says in the name of Chazal, Hayu Mechavavos Es Haaretz, the word Chiba. With regard to Yosef, Chazal say Yosef Haya Mechavav Es Haaretz. What is the meaning of the word Chiba? And since Shivasa B'Tamuz is around the bend, he says we should think about the destruction of the first set of Luchos, because Shivasa B'Tamuz is the day that we commemorate. In the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu smashes the Luchos. Now, you would think that as a result of that terrible sin, and the Luchos were destroyed, though all our associations with that day should be very, very negative. And yet, take a look at the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Does everybody have the place, by the way? Because what I'd like you to do is follow on the inside. You know, I'm trying to embellish it with my comments. But we're on page 113, and we're up to a paragraph in Yan. You have it? The Pasuk says, Ad shamelch bimsibo, nirdi nosan recho. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Gittin, a member in the name of Rava, Adayin chavivusa hu gabon. In other words, when it means HaMelech b'Mesibo, that's a reference to the giving of the Torah. Hashem had in mind to give the Torah, to give the Luchos. And even after the destruction of the Luchos, Adayin Chavivusa Hu Gabon. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has a Chiba vis-a-vis the people of Israel. Chiba is again that word that we're trying to define. Gam, even in this low state that Klal Yisrael reached as a result of the Chet HaEgel, it was such a horrible sin. Nevertheless, it happened at a time when Bnei Yisrael was so close to the highest level of Bnei Yisrael, the time of Kabbalah Satorah, which is called in the language of Shlomo HaMelech Ad Shamelech B'Mesibo, and the Chavivus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Am Yisrael still continued. It was on such a high level that it couldn't have been totally vitiated and destroyed and undermined by even the terrible sin of the Chet HaEgel. The Chavivus still persists, it still exists. Nerdi Nasan Recho. There still is that Reach of closeness, of intimacy. But the greatest expression of Chiba that you want to find if you're trying to define the word, Chiba, is in a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayishlach, which you'll see at the end of your page. The Mishnah, after all, tells us in Masechet Avos, Perek Gimel, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikroim Bonim LaMakom. There's a Chiba vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael on the part of the Divine Being. Chiba Yisera Noda Lehem Shenikru Bonim LaMakom Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. And the Midrash quotes Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "Begimel leshonos shel chiba, chibei vaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael." There are three different words that reflect and express the chiba of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the people of Israel. Number one, dveika. Number two, chashecha. And number three, chafetza. Dveika, vatem hadveikim. Chashecha means cheshek. Lo mirubcha mikol ha'amim, chashak Hashem b'chem. And chafetza ashro vi ashro itchem kol goyim kisiu atem eretz chafetz. We see from this medrash that there are three elements that define the chiba of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Dveika, Chasheka, and Chafetza. Says the Medrash, in contrast, we find with regard to Shechem ben Hamor, you remember that he had that terrible episode with Dina. He also had those three elements. Sometimes Chazal want to show you how you can misuse something that's so holy and use it for the opposite, for evil. It says Vatidbak Nafsho. It says Shechem Bini Choshka Nafsho. So there's Dveikus in Dina, there's Cheshek in Dina, and then it says Ki Chafetz Bibas Yaakov Chafetzo. Says Rabbi Abba Bar El Yoshuv, Mosif Aftarton B'Ava Ubedivur. I want to add two other words to your list of Chiba. And here we turn to page 114. Hashem says, Ahavti Eschem Mikol Ha'amim. And Hashem says, Dibru Alev Yushalayim. And again, in contrast, it says with regard to Shechem ben Hamor, Vayelv es hanara and Vayedaber alev hanara. We get a concept, a picture of what chiba is all about. There are so many different values. Dveikus, cheshek, chefetz, ava, dibra, they're all reflections, expressions of chiba. When a person is able to achieve a chiba, he has all these elements. Even when Klal Yisrael reached the low level of Chet Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chiba was so still intense, it was so lofty and high at that time of Matan Torah, that his Chiba for Bnei Yisrael still remained. And again, we have a distorted understanding today of the word Chiba, because people put together Chiba with, as I said before, with romantic love. But here we're talking about chiba with such concepts as dveikus, as cheshek. These are very lofty concepts of chiba. And now we start with the Rashi that we began with. What's the difference between the men and the women? The men said, Nitna Rosh, Venashuv Mitzrayim. The women said, meaning Bnei Slavcha said, Tnu Lanu, Tnei Lanu Achuza. Now, when we read these psukim of Nitna Rosh in Parshas Shlach and Tnu Lanu Achuza in Parshas Pinchas, we think that these two events happened in the different periods of time. Who knows how many months or even years separated the two? No. They happened at the same time. How do we know such a thing? Who revealed that secret? It's the Sifri Zuta. The Sifri says here in Parshas Pinchas that both these events took place simultaneously. L'labdecha, to teach us. B'ezo shah amdu, meaning B'no Slavka, when did they stand with name Moshe? B'shah shah amru Yisrael, immediately after the Meraglim came back. And the people of Israel responded and declared, Nitna Rosh, let's go back to Mitzrayim. Amar lehen Moshe. Moshe. Halo Yisrael mevakshim lachzor l'Mitzrayim. The Osana, but at that point, the daughters of Tzlovchad Mevakshos Nachla Baretz. Unbelievable contrast. Amrulo. So the Benos Tzlovchad said, Yiduos, Yodos Anushe Sovkol Yisrael Lahachzik Baretz. We have faith, despite this terrible episode of the Meraglim when the people gave up their faith. We, the Bnei Slavchad, have faith. And they quote the pasuk, Eis la'asos Hashem eferu sarasech, meaning at the moment that there's hafaras haTorah, at the moment when the people are rising up against Moshe and Aaron and saying, Litna Rosh, let's go back to Mitzrayim, at that moment, it's an Eis la'asos Hashem. That's when we want to come forward and demand a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So that this Nitna Rosh, on the bottom now, page 114, happened at the moment when the Meraglim came back and gave the terrible report. Bnei Yisrael cried that night. Do you remember that's the night of Tisha B'Av? And there was a terrible hysteria in Bnei Yisrael as a result of the Meraglim. to such a point that people were so hysterical, they were so impacted by the Meraglim in a very profound way, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Not only did they want to go back to Mitzrayim, Nitna Rosh, what is Nitna Rosh? Nitna Rosh means let's appoint a leader over us to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. That was also implicit in their complaint. And not only that, even more chamur. Nitna Rosh means let's appoint a leader above Kaviyachal, above the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nikach lanu Elohim Acherim, let's find another God. This was all because of the terrible sachaf. I don't know how to translate the word sachaf. There was a terrible waters that just washed away the people. They were in such a state of hysteria. At that moment, that most difficult moment in Jewish history, who stands up to fight them? Who becomes the antithesis of the Meraglim, of Nitna Rosh? It's the Bnos Slavchad. With a tremendous amount of courage and power to go against the tide, against the hysteria, against the entire society. And they demand a Nachlan Eretz Yisrael. We know we're going to go into it, so we have no question about it. We know we're going to destroy the seven nations that occupy the land. It's clear to us, we have total faith that the land will be divvied up. We want a portion in that division of the land. And here, I'm also on page 115. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was absolutely flabbergasted. He was amazed by the omets, the power of the hearts, the pure hearts of the Bnos Slavchad, their faith, their love for the land that they demonstrated. Basically, what we have here, you know, today we live in a society of demonstrations, you know, public demonstrations. The first public demonstration in history was the Bnos Slavchad. They were demonstrating in favor of Eretz Yisrael. The entire nation said, let's go back to Mitzrayim. We say the Bnos Slavchad, we want to go into the land, we want to get our portion. This is called the hour of Heferu Sarasecha. This is the hour of Eis La'Sos La'Shem. When everybody wants to run away and drop the battle, you know, everyone is on, what do they call it when the soldiers, in Hebrew it's called Arik, what's it called in English? AWOL, I think it's called. Yeah, you familiar with that phrase? Yeah, when everyone wants the AWOL, and they say, no, we want to go on and conquer the land of Israel. That's the moment of Eis La'Sos La'Shem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Mishalem Lebnos Slavchad, they will be duly rewarded. U'bizchusam Kivlu Es Eretz Yisrael. It's only because of the Bnos Slavchad that Bnei Yisrael got the land. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And I've been learning Parshas Pinchas for a good couple of years. You know, I wasn't born yesterday. And I belong to that very rare group called the FFB group, if you ever heard of those guys. Yeah. And so Pinchas is not new to me, but I never in my dreams thought that Chazal would attribute the guarantee or the ability, the merit that we could enter into the land to Bnos Slavchad. With all due respect, they're great girls. You know, if I had some sons to marry off to them, I would definitely put for potential shidduchim, but that the entire kiyum of the divine promise of the land was a result of them, because they came forward at that critical moment.
But isn't there a problem with the timing of this critical moment? That they're relating to the Meraglim, but then this has happened like 30, 40 years later after Parshat Pinchas?
I don't know, you have to work that out. I didn't get, David, you're right. You know, that has to be studied and investigated. I'm just telling you what the Sifri said, that this entire episode, this demonstration of Bnos Slavchad happened at the very moment of Nitna Rosh after the Chet HaMeraglim. The Torah says over and over again how the land of Israel is great. Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash. Even as early in history as the first encounter between God and Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, Shmos Perek Gimel, God describes to Moshe the great qualities of Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of his career, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ki ha'aretz asher ata bo shomer l'rishto lo k'aretz Mitzrayim asher yitzasu misham." The land of Israel is greater than that of Mitzrayim. Asher tizra zarcha vishkisa raglech gara yorok va'oretz asher tovrim shama l'reshta eretz harim ubikaot limitar shamayim tishte mayim eretz asher Hashem olkecha doresh oso tovid eni Hashem olkecha ba mi reshis hashana v'ad achris hashana. And what do the Meraglim say about this? They're not impressed by all these divine descriptions of the greatness of the land of Israel. What do they say? They say, Banu el ha'aretz asher shlachtanu. We investigated the land as we were told to do so. These were the scouts. And you know what? Gam eretz zovas chol dvashu. V'zeh period. They showed the fruits. Says the Medrash, why do they say v'gam? V'gam zovas chol dvashu. What's the word v'gam? V'gam usually indicates a tafel. Tafel means a secondary, a nachshlepa. He says, what does v'gan mean? They were claiming that Eretz Mitzrayim is the original Eretz Zovas Chol V'Dvash. That's the real McCoy. Eretz Yisrael is gam. You know, they have to admit that, you know, they're not total liars, right? They didn't fabricate the truth. After all, these were anoshim chshuvim. They said, you know what? You may be able to compare the land of Israel to the land of Mitzrayim, but don't even entertain the possibility that the land of Israel is superior to the land of Eretz Mitzrayim. It's gam. Even Eretz Yisrael has some redeeming qualities. He says on a physical level, in terms of the gashmis, the material attributes, Mitzrayim is zovas chol v'dvash mikorit. Mikorit means that's the original. You know, Eretz Yisrael is a facsimile. You know, it's a photocopy.
So that time in Avilan went wrong when they said it was Eretz Yisrael.
That was the only admission that we get from the people, from the Meraglim. But it wasn't like they were saying, "Wow, this is such a beautiful land." You know what? It's not bad. You know, it. What were you saying, Doc? Maybe I misunderstood you. Datan Vaviran. I didn't hear you. Right, Datan Vaviran, right. That's coming up in the next line. I don't know if you saw it. Or you're always one step ahead of me, Doc. He says the following. He says, why should we bother, this is the Meraglim's title, why should we bother battling against these great giants and jeopardizing our lives in order to enter into the land? Why not go back to Mitzrayim? That's the original Eretz Zovas Chol V'Dvash. And then Moshe Rabbeinu calls Dasan Vaviran. That's what you're referring to, right? And he says to them, in the Machlokas with Korach, what was their response? They don't want to come to see Moshe, even though he summoned them. Hama'aki elisarimi eretz zovas chol v'dvash la'miseni b'midbar. How do they describe the land of Mitzrayim? Eretz zovas chol v'dvash. In other words, the people were guilty of the worst sin vis-a-vis the land. They took the very beautiful attributes, the milos of Eretz Yisrael, and they turned it around towards Mitzrayim. Nitna rosh v'nashuv Mitzrayim. Come along the road, Slavchad. And they reveal Ometz Lev, you know, that power, that courage, Tushia Rabbah, and of great wisdom, when everyone is crying and they're raising their hands up and they're saying, let's go back to Mitzrayim. They come in front of Moshe at that moment and they ask him, can we get a chelik in the land? Basically, they were trying to create a revolution and turn around the entire spirit of the people in the other direction. And then he says that the men started hearing that there are women who are demanding a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. You know, this is like women's suffrage, you know, that women want to get the right to vote. You know, here the women want a right to the land. This is, you know, very contemporary. You know, the women want equal rights. And therefore, within the context of their protest, of their rally, they demand to be heard, you know, a hearing. And then Moshe Rabbeinu transfers it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This created a tremendous uproar in the whole camp of Israel. And what they were able to do as a result of this uproar, something similar to what Kalev was trying to do, was to reverse the entire sachaf. Remember that word sachaf that I told you is very hard to translate. You know, the stream of emotion, of passion. Hanoga, this terrible stream. Bahala, he says, this total confusion and shock of the people. And this was all a scheme. This was all a taxis. Taxis means, you know, when you have a program, you know, to try to sort of change the whole spirit of society, similar to what we saw by Kalev. It says, Vayas, Kalev Asami quieted down the people, and everybody listened to what he had to say. Rashi says the following. Now here, this is the key of keys. If you haven't been following me until now, this is what I want you to wake up. This is on page 116, three lines down from the top. Rashi says the following. Vanoshim omros tnei lanu achuza. Interesting. Why does Rashi say vahanoshim omros? Gevaldige diuk in Rashi. He says Rashi should have said ubnos tzlofchad omros. Why noshim? And it's possible that what Rashi wants to indicate, and here I want to read to you the text inside. This is a beautiful poetic language. He says, Neda, Rashi wanted us to know, Ki ma heviet benos slavchad. What motivated the benos slavchad? Lavod beperetz. To, you know, stand at this terrible gaping hole here, gaping hole at the time of the Meraglim. Lit akesh, to be very stubborn. Al chelek ba'aretz. Begin chibatan la'aretz, because of their love for the land. Lona vara, she wants to say, Michinuch bebeis abo. It's not just that they were raised that way by Papa Slavchad, right? Like I, you know, since the Six Day War, I cannot remember a single Shabbos that my father didn't darshan in his drasha before Musaf about the love for Eretz Yisrael. My father came right after the Six Day War from America. It was still June, actually, at the end of June. He was amongst the first Rabbanim who came from Chutzot to see the Kotel HaMaravi. And then he went to Kever Rochel and he fainted in the Kever Rochel. He was so overwhelmed by emotion. And this is the way I was brought up. But Rashi is saying, no. Lo michach mosan harabla. It's not because the Bnos Slavchad were tremendous scholars and brilliant and wise women, which they were. Not because of some emotional attribute that was deep in their hearts. Ella, this is unbelievable. This is a Hasidic Rebbe talking, by the way. Biglal nishu yotam, because of their femininity. He's talking about females. And that's what Rashi says, Hanoshim omros tnu lanu achuza. The very fact that they were women, that's what brought them to this stage. So Rabosai, we're going to talk now about Chivas HaOretz as it connects to women. Noshim Mechavos Eretz Yisrael. It's no longer point your finger at the Bnos Slavchad and isolate them. It's the Bnos Slavchad representing the whole female population. And Chazal tell us unbelievable things about the females. And this is very good for marriage therapy, by the way. You know, that we should appreciate our wives. I mean, each one should appreciate his own wife, right? Chazal tell us in the Gemara Pesachim, and it's also in Sota Vizchus, Noshim Sidkanios, Nigalu, Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. And not only that, says the Gemara, it's not only the Gula Mitzrayim that was brought about by the women folk. Ein Doris Nigalim, the future ultimate redemption is Vizchus, Noshim Sidkanios, Shebedar. What's so special about the women that they're going to bring about the Geula? And the answer is, and that's what you have to check off this paragraph, Aisha, that's the most important paragraph of this entire essay, and that is that a woman, it can be described by the following midos, the following attributes. Number one, bolemes atzma. Bolemes atzma means she has a self-control. Mechuneses, she allows her emotions to be taken inwardly, mufnemes, and that's what it means that a woman is called a bias. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ishticha ki gefen poria birchati beitecha, birachti beitecha. Right, Chazal say, I always call my wife my bias. Why? What is a bias? And why does a woman walk around seven times the chasa to create like a bias? Tznius, Number one, she creates the tznius of advice called Kvodu Basmelech Pnima. And not only that, but the amazing power of a woman is Hareu Nogedet Ratzon Adam Litvaleit. Man has a natural tendency to want to be outstanding. You know, everyone should notice him. You know, he wants to be the political hero, the sports hero, who mitbalet, you know, he's out there, you know, the public eye. You remember the Colosseum, you know, where the gladiators, you know, would fight the battle. Larot, he wants to show Kishurav how capable he is. Yecholto, he wants to boast and show off and demonstrate his tremendous capabilities, his talents, his attributes. A woman is just the opposite. Why do Chazal say that a man needs a woman? Kol ashori b'lo isha, shori b'lo choma. A woman is a choma. What's a choma, Rabosai?
A wall.
A wall. What does it mean a woman is a wall? Basi. The Gemara says, li'olam lo karas l'ishti, ishti ela basi. She's the wall that surrounds her husband. She's the bias that says, you know what? Forget about the public eye. There's got to be something private. Mugan, something that's protected, that's shielded from the public eye. Prati. The Gemara Psochim says that the Beis HaMikdash is called a bias. Why? Avram spoke about a har. Yitzchak spoke about a sada. Yaakov spoke about a bias. Yaakov spoke about the Beis HaMikdash as a bias. A bias means to go inside, to take all one's emotions and his service to Hashem in a private way inside. La'atzar, to hold back, to withdraw. Not hitpartzut hachutza. This is the essence of a woman. This is her role. Today, of course, it's not so popular to talk about women as having a different role than men, right? We live in the world of feminism. Women have the same role as men.
It's not an inferior place.
Say it one more time. I didn't catch
it. It's not an inferior place.
It's not son?
It's not an inferior place.
Right. But the first word in your sentence, I didn't catch not son. I don't know what the word not son. It's not an inferior place. It's a different place. In fact, to some extent, it's a superior place.
Rob, I think this talk should be given to the members of Knesset, because in the last month they've been having about the woman at the wall and saying how the Orthodoxy, our few people, are pushing down women and how you've got to work with them. We should tell them that we give them worth, but in a different way.
Correct. We give them tremendous credit and we admire the women.
But not the way the members of Knesset want to.
Correct.
As if they're men.
And he says that's why.
As if they're men, yeah.
That's why at the episode of the Meraglim, when the people were overwhelmed by mass hysteria, and they said Nidna Rosh Menetzuv Mitzrayim, they forgot all the tzaras that they had for two centuries plus in Mitzrayim. They forgot the work, the terrible work. They forgot the children, the male children that were cruelly thrown into the buildings. You know, I'm not going into detail because I can't even express it. How could they say Nidna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayim? The answer is, again, this word Sachaf. They are completely swept by that powerful hysteria, that passion. Hamoni means of the public. You know, we live in a generation where there's so much demagogues, you know, like the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, you know, and Hitler was able to create a mass hysteria. And this is true even in some of the Muslim countries today, you know, mass hysteria. And now, unfortunately, in America, the blacks, I mean, South Africa, you don't have problems with the blacks, but in America today, the blacks are going wild. Because, you know, there were a couple of terrible, terrible incidents. And now they're saying death to policemen and so forth and so on, right? Now Trump has taken a very strong position in this whole thing. It's going to... You watch the news. I don't get a chance to watch the news, but... He says, the Koach HaMeinia, what motivates the people in this massive hysteria, is the Yetzer. What is the Yetzer here, that powerful inclination? Lifrotz et HaMesgeret. Break all of the bounds of the frameworks. You know, we have Moshe, we have Aaron, we have a structure, we are being guided to march into the land, break that whole structure down, rip down the walls. And now we get to page 117 and we're almost ready to wrap it up. But no, Slavchad, they have that feminine power. And they have the ability to stop the Sahaf, to put an end to this stream, you know, this powerful sweeping waters. And he says, not only that, it goes back to Mitzrayim. What happened? Amram, the Gadol Hador, separates from his wife. He says, let's throw in the towel. There's no point to have children that are going to be destroyed. And all the people, the men folks stand up, they follow his leadership, and they divorce their wives. But what do the women do? The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Tachas HaTapuach Orarticha. They have such faith. They have such optimism, belief in God, in the divine promise. They continue to maintain the existence of Klal Yisrael. They would entice their husbands to have children. They gave birth to six at a time. This is the tremendous belief and faith of the Jewish women that brings about the redemption. And therefore, the woman who has something that the men have, but unfortunately, somehow the men, in a sense, I don't know what word to use, they subjugate these feelings of chibas haaretz. The men also have this natural love for the land. But sometimes, you know what? Even though they have this natural love, the men somehow cover it over. It becomes sublimated and subjugated. It's still there in potential. It does define the essence of the Jew. Today, for example, people attribute the love for the land to Rav Kook and those who follow Rav Kook. I'm talking about Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine. Oh, if you talk about the love for the land, you belong to the Zionist, you know, Chardalniks, you know, the Rav Kooknicks, he says. Well, I want to tell you something. That the Rebbe, the Imre Emes, one of the first Gera Rebbes, who was a very close friend of Rav Kook, and he called Rav Kook Ish Hashkolot, you know, the man of all the attributes. He has everything, all the knowledge and all the wisdom. And one time they were walking together, the Gera Rebbe, together with Rav Kook, and there were Pashkevillas on the wall against Rav Kook. At that time, you know, the Neturi character was very opposed to Rav Kook because he really came from their background, and yet he loved the land so much. So they wrote all sorts of terrible things about him. And the Gera Rebbe tried to move in such a way that Rav Kook would not see the Pashkevillas. He didn't want Rav Kook to feel so bad. So Rav Kook pushed him aside. You know, he said, you know, thank you, but no thank you. He says, you know what? I'm going to read what they write about me. And he broke out in a big smile, Rav Kook. Why? Because one of the phrases that they used for Rav Kook is Afra Lefume. When you talk about an apikoris, you say dirt to his mouth. Said Rav Kook, that's great. We're talking about the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, the offer of Eretz Yisrael, that offer Kodesh that we're supposed to love. We're supposed to kiss the land. I feel great about that. This is not a bad thing that they wrote about me. In these days of Bein HaMetzorim, we have a responsibility to strengthen ourselves with Chibas HaAretz, with the Amuna of the Noshim of the Lady Folk. We began by discussing the Kuzari. The Kuzari says that what's going to bring about the rebuilding of the land, it's our Kisufim, the Ariga, the love and the craving that we have for the land. That's going to bring the Geula. And just like the Benos Slavchad brought the Geula, and Hashem's divine promise that they would enter into the land was not forsaken, but rather was realized because of their love, the love of Benot Slavka, the Dveikus, the Chafetza, all those words that we used for the land. So too, now, when we're talking about the Gula Asida, to bring about the ultimate Gula, we have to strengthen ourselves and follow in that paradigm of the Benot Slavka. Anu od zachinu l'ro'od doros kodmim shel Yehudim shechavu rachmanu litzlan et churban Europa. We unfortunately saw the earlier generations. I mean, all of us here probably know people who went through the terrible churban, the destruction of Jewry in Eastern Europe. They had a tremendous love for the land. as they were taken into the trains, they were praying to see the land, and they worked very hard. They raised families and generations. Somehow, their tefillos in that generation were not accepted. And today, we are the heirs and the descendants of those Doros, with a new generation, relatively. We are on a much lower level. And strangely, oddly enough, for some unknown reason, our tefillos were accepted. We were able to experience the return to the land. We don't really know what Chivas Ha'aretz is, and therefore we have to study, we have to think, we have to engender those emotions and strengthen them. We have to be those who will transmit from the earlier generations the love for Eretz Yisrael. And you and I know stories about people who tell you about their grandparents who never would believe, you know, as they were being taken to the camps, that their grandchildren will live to see the return to the land. We are obligated lavir et haragashot elu libaneinu achreinu. We have to transmit these love feelings of the land to our children, to our grandchildren. Kisufim, longings. Cheshek, the desire to connect with the land. Chefetz, ava, all those words that reflect chiva. And how do we do this? Remember we said dibur. Dibur is always ma'orer ha'alev. We have to speak about the land, speak about the love for the land. And that will bring about what, you know, to materialize or realize the potential that's within the lave of each and every Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us that strength. He should fight our battles. He should bring about a day of Pedus Nafshenu when our souls will be able to be freed by all those terrible influences. B'shuvo L'tzion B'rachman B'mehera V'yomenu. A wonderful opportunity to speak about my favorite topic, Parshas Pinchas.